This daily Christian newscast is brought to you in partnership with SermonAudio.com.
It's Thursday, December 6th, AD 2018. This is the Worldview in 5 minutes, written by Jonathan Clark and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Ben Thurley, the CEO of International Nepal Fellowship Australia, has asked Christians around the world to pray for our fellow believers in Nepal as they face increased persecution for sharing the gospel. This comes after Katie Rachel Graham, an Australian Christian woman, was expelled from Nepal for evangelizing in a small town near the border with India last month. The Worldview spoke to Thurley about why the church in Nepal is growing quickly despite the persecution.
The church has often been referred to as one of the fastest growing churches in the world. Its witness to Jesus, its love and service for the community, and frankly the miraculous work of God in that country have led to church growth despite a more hostile situation.
Stay tuned for a deeper look at the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ flowing through the Christians in Nepal after today's newscast. The first Coptic worship service was held in Saudi Arabia on Sunday by Egyptian Bishop Anba Marcos, reports the Cairo Scene. This follows an invitation to Marcos by Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman back in March. Christians in the Islamic country face high levels of persecution, and those who abandon Islam face the death penalty. Crown Prince bin Salman has made gestures toward international religious leaders recently, but has not made real progress on religious freedom. Spain's conservative and pro-life Vox Party took 12 seats in the Andalusian regional election this week, handing the Spanish Socialist Party its first defeat since 1982. The Vox Party supports marriage between one man and one woman, and denounces laws in favor of homosexuality that would restrict religious liberty. The party opposes the murder of unborn babies and is also calling for tighter immigration controls. In God's providence, the number of Chinese girls killed in abortion and infanticide may not be as high as previously thought, based on a new study by Kansas University professor John Kennedy, reports Life News. China's one-child policy, later changed to two children, has led to an estimated 60 million, quote-unquote, missing girls in the country, where sex selection abortions are common. The new study found that up to 25 million of these girls were not actually killed, but were unreported at birth and appeared in government census data later in life. Some local officials refused to enforce the one-child policy, allowing many girls to go unreported. The protection of life reminds us of the midwives in Exodus 1:17, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. The Houston-based U.S. Pastor Council, representing 25 churches, is challenging the city of Austin in court over an ordinance that could force churches to hire employees who do not hold biblical views on issues involving gender and sexuality. The ordinance bans discrimination against people living sexually perverted lifestyles by guaranteeing them employment, reports LifeSite News. More and more Democratic women are taking leadership positions in various key party organizations, including the campaign arms for national and state races, reports Axios. A record share of Democratic female nominees ran for House, Senate, and governor in the 2018 midterm elections, and after the Democratic victory in the House of Representatives, Democratic Representative Nancy Pelosi received her party's nomination for Speaker of the House. Isaiah 3:12 says, "My people, infants are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Your guides mislead you, and they have swallowed up the course of your paths." Ohio's first abortion mill has surrendered its surgical license and will no longer offer surgical procedures to murder babies in the womb, reports the Greater Columbus Right to Life. The Founder Women's Health Center abortion mill in Columbus gave up their license last month after an inspection of the facility by the Ohio Department of Health. Last month, the U.S. Department of Education's official blog ran a post in its Rethink School series highlighting the benefits of homeschooling. The post told the story of a Christian military couple, Dan and Jenna, who are homeschooling their six children. They said they loved the flexibility homeschooling allows them to best serve their children's educational needs and teach them a biblical worldview. Exhorting parents, Deuteronomy 6:7 calls for education in God's ways. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And that's the World View in 5 minutes. On this Thursday, December 6th, in the year of our Lord, 2018, subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview Special Report by Emily Swanson. I'm Adam McManus. Ben Thurley, the CEO of International Nepal Fellowship Australia, told the Worldview that there has never been a lot of freedom for Christians in Nepal, but the laws on religious conversion this August made it even more difficult.
In terms of opposition, there's always been a fairly strong restriction on Christians and other religious minorities sharing their faith and inviting others to convert, but they've become stronger in recent months. In August, a new law was enacted that kind of toughens the criminal offence of causing or persuading someone to convert from pre-existing religious tradition. There's a much stronger restriction on evangelism and public witness for Christians in that country now than there has been in the past. For most of the Christians who I've spoken to, most of the church leaders who I've spoken to, they think it's too early to tell how that law will be implemented.
Thurley said that many of the cases will depend on how local authorities decide to prosecute or not prosecute Christians for evangelism.
A lot of it is going to depend on the intention of local level authorities and how they intend to implement that law. In a lot of places, there are actually really good relationships between the local churches and local community and local authorities, because the church really does witness to Christ by loving and serving and sharing open-handedly and open-heartedly with their community. So in a lot of places, we're hopeful and pray that churches will continue to be able to just be who they are, loving and serving God and loving and serving their neighbor.
Thurley did say that they have seen some worrying signs of church leaders and their congregations being attacked with the new laws.
We already have seen in some cases church groups and church leaders being accused under these laws of causing someone to convert and being arrested and brought to trial. So there are some worrying signs and definitely something that we want to pray about.
Thurley described Nepali Christians facing intense social and family pressure for converting, a pressure that many American Christians have not experienced.
In terms of why and how Christians remain faithful, even under the face of this growing hostility, for a lot of Christians, although this legal situation is new, when they came to faith themselves, a lot of them have faced complete rejection from their family. So they're sent out of the family home. Other family members who remain Hindu and remain in those traditions will refuse to have anything to do with them, refuse to have contact with them. They'll be cut off from wills and inheritance, so they'll no longer be part of the family in any meaningful way. And so that enormous social pressure and personal loss that a lot of Christians have faced and still face, that goes on in a way that probably Christians in the States and Christians in Australia haven't had to face that and don't experience that.
Thurley explained why the Nepali Christians have remained faithful to God.
How they remain faithful in that, I really think, is just down to the faithfulness of God, that God upholds them and that they know that despite whatever the world can face at them, whatever even their own families can throw at them, they are deeply loved by God. Just as God won't give them up, they won't give God up.
Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 reminds the Israelites that God has been faithful to them, and reminds our Nepali family in Christ that he will continue to be faithful because he never changes. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Thurley shared some of the most vital prayer requests for the Nepali Christians.
For them to be a faithful and wise witness. So even in this new context, Christians just understand that they're called by Jesus to love God with everything they have and everything they are, and to love their neighbor as they love themselves. And in that, for people to come to know the grace of God, for people to come to see and experience the love of God through the love and witness of their Christian neighbours in what's still a majority Hindu country.
John 13:35 says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." To learn more about the work of the International Nepal Fellowship, visit their website at inf.org. This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus.